I talked about on this number one over here about the new birth from above, love spread from the seeds, water, and water flowed at, from water and water flowed at Calvary. And I talked about this and went into detail on it. There are actually four different rests. On this first one that I went through in Sunday school, I talked about the first two rests primarily. But I'm going to finish up. It just continues right into this number three. One and two goes into three. Because I really learned about two and three at this church. And I discovered I needed to grow up. I needed to put away childish things. And I needed to study to show myself approved unto God and never feel like I had come to the point where I had mastered what God wanted me to know in my life. Now, the second rest was take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The first one was Matthew 11:28, which I talked about in Sunday school, where he told us, come unto me. He indicated that, and I will give you rest. And then he talked about in 11:29 here, after you're saved, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He gave you rest when you came to him, a rest of salvation, and he saved you. And you never had to worry about going to hell again. And you, the second rest, you went ahead, and many of you, took his yoke upon you. It's a sigros, it's a double yoke. He has his head in one side, and you have your head in the other. And he pulls you along and teaches you about himself as you're laboring from him. And you don't realize how much you have to learn. I didn't. And I'm still learning. And the transformation of your life after you're saved is the most difficult part of your journey. There's nothing more difficult than this. I've had a very strenuous life, and I've been in combat. I've done this, I've done that. But this is the most difficult thing I've ever realized about myself and things I realized about God. Now, numbers 2 to 4 rest are involved in Jesus' promise. Rest 2 leads to rest 3 and 4 to define the overcomer. Now, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. When I came up here, I was not meek and lowly in heart. And the Lord made me meek and lowly in heart by letting me go through experiences that showed me how insignificant and unimportant I really am. I actually know for a fact that I'm an unprofitable servant. I came to that conclusion quite a ways back, and that was a tremendous help to me. And the other thing I had to learn while I was up here is how to control myself. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. The one thing a man always has most trouble with, not all men, is their temper. They can see the temper in other people, but they can't see the temper in themselves until after they've goofed, and then they have to run to God and ask for forgiveness. So, I want to take a look at Peter, because Peter was a man, a very ordinary man, who stood up and said that he would never leave nor forsake the Lord, that he would follow him to death, He said that in the Gospel of Luke. The same account in Matthew, we're told that the other disciples said the same thing. And we're told throughout the New Testament that the disciples were always tagging along behind him, thinking he couldn't hear, but he always did. That who would be greatest in the kingdom of God? I don't care who's greatest in the kingdom of God. I already know. His name is Jesus. And I've learned two things about him that have been a great blessing to me at this church. I knew before I came that I didn't have any righteousness of my own. I knew it was totally given to me and that I could not add to it or take away from it. I was taught that when I was very young. I came to understand it when I finally went to Jesus, was saved, and then later scripturally baptized when I was 23. And I had a rest then, because a rest that involved learning what he taught me in that yoke. And I knew that I could not satisfy him. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about a saved man. I could not satisfy him if I did not obey his ordinances. I've learned some things here in this church that have been very beneficial to me, and I want to share them with you. I'm sorry that I've kept harping on you to be regular in attendance. I apologize. I've been so many times I thought, well, if I really lower the boom on them, why, maybe that's the way to get them to come. And I didn't misuse Scripture or misrepresent it. Maybe I was too harsh. You know why I follow Jesus? Because he's so cotton-picking kind. He's so cotton-picking forgiving. So cotton-picking loving. I can't help but serve him. So maybe what I need to do is just preach the things about him that have to do with how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, and then tell you what he wants from us. He wants the same thing from every one of us. He wants us to receive him as Savior. He saves us. We get the rest that is eternal. Then he wants us to serve him in one of his local churches. He wants us to find a church that teaches and preaches what he taught to the first New Testament church. And he wants to find a church that's still doing that and not compromising what he taught them. I wouldn't be in this church if I didn't believe this was such a church. We're certainly not perfect. But we do try to keep the ordinances of baptism. They're not sacraments. They don't save you. And observing the Lord's Supper correctly, because those are the two ordinances that were delivered to the local church. We just can't be happy with him until we do. So once I came here and we began to do the things I thought that we ought to do, the things that I ought to do and the things I ought to believe, all of us are a lot like Simon Peter, to different degrees. Very headstrong. Simon Peter was 10 billion times the man I'll ever be. But he was a man who was firm in his opinions, who said what he thought. And I kind of admire Peter, because it broke his heart when he hurt the Lord. He says, this is now the third time. This is after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So this is the third time they've seen him since he was risen from the dead. And he has just got through telling the disciples who are with him way up there on the Sea of Galilee. And he's already gotten impatient. So he says, I go a-fishing, because he was a fisherman. Good one. And they followed him. And he just went fishing. The Lord is slow and deliberate sometimes in what he does. And he had led Peter, or Peter had led himself along a path that God let him follow. And it was necessary for God to say this to him. He said, So when they had dined, they caught some fish. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" A lot of people don't realize that when Jesus is in a place and he says, "Behold the lilies of the field, behold the ravens of the air," he pointed to them. And the same is true with this little group that was gathered down there with him. And he had caught the fish and they were eating them. What he said to Peter, he really said to all of them, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Do you love what you have had all your life and the satisfaction you've had? Listen, I had a great life. Oh, sure, I got shot at and all that kind of stuff, but I had a wonderful mother. I had wonderful grandparents. I couldn't have had a better childhood. So I loved those things. And I loved my wife more than I loved God. "Lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." You've heard this by so many preachers, you've lost count of them. When he asked Peter, when Jesus asked him, for lovest, he used the word agape. That's a different word from the way Peter replied. He said, "You know I phileo you." Peter had been very bold and brash, and he had said, "I'll follow thee to death." And here Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And he said, "I love you like a brother." That's what that word phileo means. He wasn't the same bold Peter he used to be. He saith unto them, "Feed my lambs." Well, everybody's got something that God calls them to do. I never dreamed I'd be a God-called preacher. But I am. And that's what I'm supposed to do. In this church, we have young Christians, baby Christians. When Leroy got out of the baptismal pot back there, he said, "Now you're going to have to help me with some of this stuff." You don't know how much I appreciated that. Because that's what this is all about. So he saith unto him the second time. He said, "Simon, son of Jonas, agape, lovest thou me?" What did Peter do this time? He saith unto him, "Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo you. I love you like a brother." That's two different words for love. You've heard that many, many times. It takes a long time to learn the full lesson from this, and I hope I have. But this is also for you. It's not just for preachers, but it's especially for preachers, and it's especially for me. Preachers are known as elders. He said, "That I love thee," he saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." His full-grown sheep. That's what he said. Got a lot of full-grown sheep here are certainly headed that way. God makes the decision. I don't. He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more? Lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said it to him the third time. "Agape thou me?" And he saith unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I phileo you." That's one of the greatest things Peter ever did. He told him the truth. He just told him because the Lord already knew it. But he knew, I haven't done what was right. Jesus saith unto him, the word for feed here is shepherd. Shepherd my sheep. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what God called me to do. You say, "Well, why didn't you start doing that when you got up here?" Nobody knows how to pastor when they come into ministry. And many of them leave. But I am genuinely God called, and he doesn't let me get away with stuff because I'm God called. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, good grief, I raised strip downs. I'm lucky to be alive. I tore up bars across North Africa. I'm telling you, I never expected God would call me, but I guarantee you one thing, he's got to get all the glory for it, because I didn't do anything right. But I was always reverently afraid of him, and I was just as saved then as I am now. But when thou art old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. Boy, when you get old, you got to have some help. And you suddenly realize, I got so shook up yesterday, I thought, Lord, if you don't help me, how will I ever figure this out? And I wasn't blaming him. That's one thing I've never done. And I finally realized what he was trying to tell me. And when I realized that, I said, I'm going to have to go back and rework that, because I didn't put that just right. And I was at the nursing home when I realized that. Never been so upset in my ministry, because it was the first time I had ever in my mind thought, Lord, why don't you help me? I'm not Jesus or anything, but the Lord Jesus Christ said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I never, and so I caught myself. And later on, I went back home and I worked on these two messages. I think I've come around the bend. Not that I'm some spiritual giant, but at least I understand some things I didn't understand before. And I'll be a much better pastor because of it. And I guarantee you, if you'll listen to this, and when he had spoken, he said unto them, follow me. He said unto him, follow me. Well, old Peter learned a real big lesson, hadn't he? Not really. He'd learned a lot. And I'd learned a lot in the last 10 years up here. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned at his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? He's talking about John. And John's writing this book, but John always wrote in the third person, you know, some things. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? In Arkansas terminology, Peter, that's not really any of your business. And he said, follow thou me. That's what he told them all. I have learned as pastor of this church to concentrate on feeding the sheep, feeding the lambs, and shepherding the flock. It's a hard lesson to learn. Sometimes you feel guilty. You feel like, Lord, I ought to do more. My legs won't let me anymore. And when I did have legs, I don't think I did any better than I'm doing now. Now notice what 1 Peter says about this, because he's the man that went through all this. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 11. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Here's what Peter wrote. It applies to me. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint. I'm not supposed to be a tyrant. I came out of the military, and that was part of the military training I had. But willingly. not for filthy lucre. I have never stolen one penny from this church or any other church. Not one. I didn't do this for filthy lucre. If you really want to hurt my feelings, that's the way to do it. Tell people I've stole from the church. How do you think I feel? I didn't take this church for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You know what that means? I prepared before I came up here. I thought I was pretty well prepared. I'd been through a seminary. I'd been through colleges and universities. I tried to commit myself to doing what God wanted. I thought everything was fine. I had a ready mind. But that was part of my problem. I thought I was ready for this. I had to change my whole way of thinking. I understand that Roman centurion who said to, when they came to Jesus to heal his servant, he said, "When I have servants, and when I tell this one to go, he goes and does it." He said, "You don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word, and it'll be done." That's pretty hard to do, isn't it? Isn't it? Man, that's a lot to do. Neither is being lords over God's heritage. I was accused of that here several times. I have never been lords over God's heritage here. That is a lie. I have never stole a penny from the church. That is a lie. But being examples to the flock. If any of you believe that, please stop believing it, because the things I was accused of weren't true. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. Jacob wrestled with an angel. He wouldn't let him go, and he limped for the rest of his life. He held on to him until the angel blessed him. And he giveth grace to the humble. Jacob was not a humble man when he went up and fled from his brother and stayed up there. God put him through a ringer up there, and he had to work his tail off until he finally got the wife he wanted. And he lost her more than the rest of his life. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God can't exalt you until you humble yourself by his word. Anybody out here think you're humble? I mean, you ever really thought about it? Do you really think you're humble? I don't think I'm humble, but I'm a lot more humble than I used to be. Sometimes if you get stomped enough, you get humble. I know when I went out for football, I played across the line for a little while for Fred Williams, who went on to play for the Chicago Bears, made a little All-American. You think I didn't get humble? I went out for football so I'd have a nice-looking girl. Never did get a nice-looking girl, but I got cleated all the time. Lord have mercy. He says, be sober, casting all your care upon him, that he may exalt you in due time. He will, but he's not going to exalt you until you're humble. You know why? Because a man that's not humble will hurt the church. I won't hurt you. I've learned my lesson. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is for elders. This is for every church member. Be sober. Be vigilant. because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And that word devour is completely swallow whole. Whom resist. How do you resist? I'll take care of that. Wham! No, steadfast in the faith. Test piston. You do it God's way. You do it God's way. God doesn't need men for pastors that won't humble themselves. And God will humble them if the man will let them. Took me a long time to just give up. But I have given up. And when a problem comes in this church, the first one I run to is God. The first one I talk to is God. And I know whether I'm guilty or whether I'm not guilty. And I pray for the one who has accused me of it. Because I know I'm not guilty. And I think, what's going to happen? I'm more concerned about him than I am myself or her. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered for a while. Okay. This is something God's promised you. This is something God's promised you. God's promised you. He says, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, mature, very mature. You know the greatest kind of pastor you can have? One that's mature. And the reason Robert's such a good teacher, I know who taught him. And I know these men. They were older than I am. They're dead now. But they were good teachers, and I learned a lot from them. Everywhere I went, I learned from preachers that were old and mature. I listened. Establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now this is rest number 4. Matthew 29:30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wait a minute. Lordy mercy. It looked like he put you through a ringer. This is talking about after he puts you through the ringer. You suddenly realize his yoke is easy. You just made it hard. You should have done as a pastor what you told the congregation to do. Just turn it over to the Lord. I didn't do that. I never even thought about this till I got down here and I said, good grief, there's a fourth rest. And I now have found that fourth rest. I'm not telling you that I won't have times when I'll be disappointed or unhappy. But I won't have to put on a happy face when I come over here anymore. And April won't have to say, Daddy, put on your happy face. They were so afraid I'd say something that would hurt somebody's feelings. I never meant to do that. You know? Because Jesus was the only man who fully overcame. That's why I'm going to do this series. You say, well, I'm an overcomer. So am I. But it's because the overcomer is in me. But why do I want to be an overcomer? Well, I'll talk about that in a minute. Because Jesus was the only man who fully overcame. 1 John 4:4-11. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm only an overcomer because Jesus lives inside me. Now, what about this inheritance? Well, Jesus had the full inheritance. It says so. He inherited all things, but he said he was going to share it with us. Made it very plain in Colossians. So what's this thing about reward? He said, and whatsoever ye do, and whatsoever ye do, do it from the soul. Psyche, the saved soul. And whatsoever ye do it from the saved soul. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. If you had worked for General Motors all your life, you wouldn't have gone over and asked for your retirement from Chevrolet. And so you're working for Jesus. That's what a pastor needs to learn. Your husband knew that. He knew it. That's what I loved about him. He knew that. He wasn't working for anybody but Jesus. And that helped me a lot. That's why I liked him. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Heartily is ekpasike, from the saved soul. And not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord God. Man, I haven't got a thing in the world to worry about. As long as I do what I'm supposed to do, I'm saved. I'm supposed to feed the lambs, feed the sheep, and shepherd the sheep, and teach and preach the word. That's what I'm doing right now. So now I don't feel guilty anymore because my legs hurt and I can't get out and do the stuff I want to do. I used to try. I felt so bad about it, but I can't help it. And God said, Tom, just don't worry about it. Just do what I told you. He didn't speak my ear or anything. He said, ye are of God, little children, overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus is the overcomer. And I'm going to get a reward based on his judgment of how well I've served him. Because they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Listen, I got a job to do. That's it. You got some kind of a job to do in church. And he bothers you about it. Ed, I'm glad you're picking with us. You add a lot to the group. And I love you and your wife. And I'm just so glad that you came up here and picked with us. That may not seem like a big thing to you, but it does to us. There's a lot of people in this church, and Rachel comes up here and plays her concert. You know, everybody needs to do something. And so I harp on attendance, because if you can't do anything else, come down here and listen. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the complete price for our sins, that God might be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I want you to memorize that last verse. That was the one I couldn't think of, Ken.
Yes, I realized that.
And I forgot the word "and" in front of it. Colossians 3:23-25. This is one of the most important verses in the Bible to show you that God's Son got the full inheritance. He's the overcomer. He comes to live in you as the overcomer the moment you're saved. And from there on out, here's what he wants to teach you. You work for me. You don't work for attention. You don't work for recognition. You don't worship me by giving me money and then groaning and moaning about it. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, ekpasike, from the saved soul, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. How much? How much is the reward? It won't be the same for everybody. There's some people really serve him, and they serve God, and they finally learn, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And I tell you, I'm ready to go home. I mean, I'm ready to go on up there. I don't say I reached spiritual maturity, but I tell you what, God has sure made my life a whole lot easier.